Hello and welcome along to the Anxiety Specialist podcast. I'm your host, Michael Burrows.
And I'm Becky Burrows.
If you've been struggling with anxiety or know someone who has been, then this podcast is for you.
Today, we're going to be covering some more tips, strategies, and insights so you can get the anxiety-free life you deserve.
Ready? Let's dive in.
If listening to the podcast, you realize that you really want to work on some of your own anxiety, that it's become an issue in your life, it's affecting your functioning, then I would really encourage you to jump on my masterclass on how to reduce your anxiety. This is the best place to start. I cover what the journey looks like, how moving through anxiety works, and the mistakes people make that really hold them back. So click the link in the show notes to be able to come and join me on that masterclass. And I'm really excited to help you to start overcoming your own anxiety.
Welcome to the Anxiety Specialist podcast. Today, I'm talking about how to get over your anxiety about dating someone hotter than you so that you can get the person of your dreams. And I'm sharing this because this is my experience. So from quite young, I got this message that if you were with someone that was attractive, they're way more likely to cheat on you. And so I found myself steering clear of people who were attractive, so good-looking guys. And I would have crushes on guys who were hot, and generally I'd have nothing in common with them, was one of the main problems. But I also had this massive prejudice against them, that they were jerks, that they were full of themselves and all this sort of stuff. And so I found myself dating guys that I actually wasn't attracted to, which was really problematic. Interestingly, those guys I dated had quite strong religious views, especially around physical stuff. And so both of my boyfriends, to start with, didn't want to kiss until we were engaged. One of them even, they didn't want to kiss until we were married, which I was not keen on because I knew what he wanted to do the same day that we got married. So I was like, that is a big jump and I'm not into it. So when I met my husband, Michael, I had a real challenge going in my head. So I bumped into him. We were actually going to a church at the same time back in the day. And he sat down next to me. And I remember when he sat down, I was just like, turn and look to see who'd sat next to me. And just was like, oh my gosh, that guy's hot. He guy's really hot. And I was like, okay. So there was this portion of the church service where they would say, turn and say hello to the person next to you. And you'd turn and you'd say hi. And I was like waiting for that opportunity to talk to this gorgeous man, specimen of a man who just sat down next to me. But as that was happening, I also had this thread of thoughts running through my head. I'm like, he's really good looking, so he's probably not interested in anything that I'm interested in, and he's probably some sort of jock, and he's probably not that nice, and all this sort of thing. And then it was funny, being in church, I really like, it resonated as almost God, like kind of giving me a bit of a hate, because it was like, this other thought came into my head. I was like, what if he's just a normal person, a nice normal person who actually could really do with some friendship and relationship and gets judged because of the way he looks? And I was like, I should probably not judge him just based on how he looks. And so the church service went on, and then they did the whole turn and talk to the person next to you. But instead of it being turn and talk to the person next to you, it was, so why has God brought you here today? And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so much more than a hello. And so I was like, I said that, I turned to him and I was like, well, that's a bit more than a hello. It was funny because we said hi and he introduced himself, said, hi, I'm Michael. And as soon as he said that, I was like, oh no, because sitting next to me was my old flatmate and she'd just broken up with a Michael. And I was like, that's really unfortunate. And I could feel the cold chill from her as soon as he said his name. And so I was like, she's not going to like you right from the get-go. But we ended up getting chatting, especially after the service. And that's when I found out he was passionate about psychology, wanting to study clinical psychology and become a therapist. And so it was really, I was like, wow, I'm fascinated about this. And we ended up talking for probably over an hour just because I was so interested in what he did. And I had put that prejudice to the side so that I could actually get to know him. And I'm so glad I did that, because if I hadn't have done that, then I wouldn't have got to know Michael. And the funny thing about that question, you know, why has God brought you here today? It's like, maybe that was like, whether you call it God or the universe or fate or whatever, was that I was meeting my husband that day and I had no idea. And I remember leaving, and the next day I was like, did I actually meet him, or was that like an angel or like something? Because I was just like, that guy was so insanely good looking. I was blown away. And he'd asked for my number, which later it's interesting because Michael's never really been that kind of way, which is so funny. But he was like, he asked me if I attended church often, which I think is so funny. It's like that, do you come here often sort of thing. And I was like, well, at the time I wasn't like regularly attending church. And so I was like, well, not really. And so he's like, well, maybe I should get your number then. And I was like, wow, that was really smooth. So yeah, he got my number and we started talking. But I find it interesting because of that sort of prejudice and anxiety I had around good-looking guys. And I guess some having liked some attractive guys in the past who hadn't showed interest in me, or they'd showed interest in me and then I'd seen them being just as interested and showing just as much like flirting and interest with other girls, that I kind of felt like hot guys just did that. And so I didn't want to be kind of just another girl. So I kind of had these fears, anxieties about being around someone hotter than me. And so it had prevented me from kind of getting into a relationship with someone who I was really attractive with, which is problematic. And so if you find yourself doing that, I'm really excited to talk about my journey and my experience, and hopefully that will help you to get a hot partner and be able to be with the person of your dreams, because that's really the exciting part, is when you get that lifelong partner out of this. So one of the big things about it to start with was, yes, that was the initial attraction, but the thing that made the big difference was that we actually connected on things that we have in common and things that I was actually interested in. And especially with the psychology thing, it's funny because I feel Michael gets one of two responses. Either it's like, oh, that's really interesting, like a lean in, tell me more kind of thing, or a, are you psychoanalyzing me? Like a withdraw, close the drawbridge, put up the walls, you know. And it's interesting because I think now that Michael and I do a lot of this sort of stuff, it's like, that's really interesting. What do you not want us to know about you? But because we had that sort of that connection, that interest about each other, that really, really sparked things off. It's interesting because in the past with hot guys that I had actually kind of gone after, I'd been really sort of needy and desperate for it. You know, I want to message them all the time. I'd like want to try and meet up with them. I'd be thinking about them constantly, that sort of thing. But it was really interesting, actually, the mindset I was in when I met Michael, because I'd just recently broken up with another boyfriend and I was not looking for it. I was not looking for another partner. I was actually in that point where I was just like, I need some time to me. And I was like, I'm going to do a year of just being single so I can like work through myself and sort some things out. Like, I don't need a relationship right now. And then, like, I bump into Michael and I'm like, oh, I really like this guy. And it's like, oh, that's okay. I just invite him around to, like, hang out with us as friends and I can get to know him and that sort of thing. And then, oh, none of my friends are having a bar of that. They're like, no, we're not going to be on your pretend dates as your sort of chaperones. We're not doing it. And so I found myself getting to that point where it's like, oh, actually, that wasn't working with my friends. But I actually did something really funny. I went with Michael one of the times we were hanging out and I was like, I'm just going to be really upfront with him. And I was like, I really like you. I do. But I'm not interested in a relationship at the moment because I need to spend some time sorting myself out and working through things. You know, I've had a breakup recently, that sort of stuff. And it was actually really funny because I wasn't trying to act hard to get. That was genuine. It was genuine. And I think that's the thing. It's different when that sort of thing is genuine. But for Michael, it did two things. One, it told him I was interested. And one of the interesting things about Michael is, I've seen this talking to him, is the number of girls that have been interested in him. And he has been completely clueless. Like, no idea. Like, I'll come across things like letters or cards that girls have sent him. And I'll be like, oh, wow, she liked you. And he's like, what? And I'm like, she sent you a Christmas card. She was probably really interested in you and you had no idea. And it just time and time again, like there was a fitness instructor on a cruise he went on as a teenager with his family. And she was like, gave him her number for her room in case he needed any more tips on how to work out his abs. And Michael's like, oh, that's nice. No idea. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like the amount of times that people were interested in Michael and he had no idea. So the fact that I actually turned around to him and said, hey, I like you. He was like, oh, she likes me. And it's like, yes, I like you. I've been very interested in spending time with you. But I think it really helped having that, being direct. And a lot of dating seems to be about playing games and not being direct, and especially for women being hard to get and all that sort of thing. And it's just like, it was interesting for us that I was quite forward about that. But it wasn't like a, I want something. It was a, I like you. So it's not that I don't like you, but I want to spend some time working on myself sort of thing because of having dated recently. And the second thing that it did for Michael was it gave him a challenge. He was like, challenge accepted. He was like, okay, I'm going to see how long it takes Becky to change her mind on this one. I had no idea that that's what he thought. But yeah, that's where he was at. Michael likes a challenge. And so I walked away from that meeting thinking that I had just messed up. I was like, I walked away and I was like, I think, like, this is crazy, but I think that might be the guy I want to marry. And so I'm quite a strong manifester. So I think I manifested that when I kind of said that and like put that out there. But I was like, oh, this could be the person, but I'm walking away. But I'm really glad I did that. It meant that I wasn't in that I need him, I have to have him energy. And it wasn't long. To be honest, it wasn't a year. I think it was like 2 weeks. So I'm not saying I was this really dedicated person to my cause. I remember 2 weeks later following him to a supermarket, and just because I wanted to spend time with him, and he's like, I'm going to the supermarket. And I was like, oh yeah, I need to go to the supermarket too. Not really. I maybe needed one or two things. I got to the supermarket with him, and that's like grocery store in New Zealand. And I realized he was doing a full shop and I literally only needed 2 things. And I was like, oh no. And I had this moment of like, do I stay and only get 2 things, or do I just bolt? Like, I had that thought, I just run away right now and just leave. And then I was like, or option 3, I could just be really interested in the packaging of everything. And I ended up doing that, reading the packaging of everything as he walked around doing a full shop. Oh my gosh. And then straight afterwards, he had to catch boss and he ran off. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Anyway, so yes, we ended up getting together. But I think that not being in that needy energy, especially around someone as incredibly good looking as Michael is and was at that time, really did help with that. I think if I was really needy about it, I don't know if that would have worked out. So after that, like, we ended up getting together. I think my phone had died and I was like, I need a hug. And he's like, you can come and give me a hug. I'm at university. And I ended up going up. And then after that, we ended up going out. And so we were dating. And I just want to like explain what it was like dating a really hot guy, because one of the crazy things was going out with him, like going to a bar or going out to a party with him, and just it being like I didn't exist. It was the weirdest thing around other women and gay guys as well, but especially around other women, how they would completely blank me. It was like I was invisible. I felt like I could stand in front of your face, wave my hand and be like, hello, girlfriend here, hello. It was just like, oh my gosh. Even ones who knew that I was his girlfriend would just ignore me. It was like this in their brain, they were going, if I just pretend she doesn't exist, maybe he doesn't have a girlfriend. And so, yeah, I would frequently be at parties where girls were very enthusiastically flirting and chatting with Michael in front of me as if I wasn't even there. It was just like, I just got to the point where I was like, ah, yeah, this is just how it is. Gay guys as well. That was something to get used to. And it's interesting because, like, I'm not an unattractive person, but I think that in terms of attractiveness, I'm probably lower on the attractiveness. And everyone has their different opinions on attractiveness, but it has been interesting, and especially at times when I got depressed and I put on quite a bit of weight as well, then I really felt that I'm not the most attractive person in this relationship. And there's anxiety that comes from that and insecurity that comes from that. And that's something that I've had to work through by being in a relationship with someone more attractive than me. And that's been important work so as not to get jealous of other relationships and not to have anxiety and be fearful of someone stealing him away from me, which was that thing that I had kind of programmed from when I was young. That's why you date someone who isn't that attractive, because then no one will steal them from you. But that's not great, because then are you that attracted to them? And how is your desire for them? So I'm glad I didn't end up going that route, because I don't think it's a great one to go down. But that is something that I've had to work on, building my own confidence in myself. And this episode was actually prompted by someone turning to Michael and saying, "We're the same, you and I. We're both the most attractive person in our relationships." And when I heard about that, I was like, hey! And then I felt really competitive. I was like, right, I'm going to get myself all done up so that they can see that I'm more. And then I was just like, it's a bit of a losing game here, because he's just getting kind of that, like, as he gets older, that even more distinguished silver fox kind of look going on. And I'm getting older, you know, I'm almost 35. And with that comes aging, wrinkles and things like that. And so a little bit of like acceptance of like, he's hotter than me and that's okay. They'll be okay. I can be confident in myself. And I think that's a really important thing to build up, is that your confidence in that it's okay for the other person, because someone's always going to be the more attractive one. And so I get really good eye candy by having a really attractive partner, which is fun. But I need to accept that it's okay for him to be more attractive and not get jealous of that or want him to hide that either. So one of the things I want to put forward about bagging a hot hubby is that it actually gives you a challenge. It puts forward a challenge. And I feel recently I've been like, challenge accepted, about kind of leveling up my own attractiveness. And this isn't just physical beauty. That is a part of it. But like paying attention to how I look and putting effort into that. I've been working out recently, which has been really cool to see my body, especially after our second child, getting toned and I'm like, I'm looking good. I'm like, yeah, I'm like looking trim and fit and healthy, especially, you know, I'm drinking a lot more water and eating healthy, and I can feel that health in myself, which I think is a very attractive thing. And over and above attractiveness physically, it's about confidence, because confidence is incredibly attractive. And that's one of the issues you can have when you're with someone who's hot, who's attractive, is it can kind of knock your own confidence, because you're like, oh, I'm not as good looking as they are. But it's leaning into that confidence of being confident in just who you are and what you offer. And that is really an attractive quality to have. And that attracts a hot partner and that maintains that relationship by having that confidence. And confidence comes through competence. And one of the things that is my value actually is growth. And I have put a lot of work over the last decade of our marriage, because we've been married for 10 years now. So we've been at it for a long time. And one of the things that I put in is work into growing myself, both, you know, exercise wise and emotionally, and working on my mental health has been huge. Working on my anxiety, so my anxiety doesn't impact on our relationship like it used to, with the jealousy or with the fears of losing him or with, you know, fears of him not finding me attractive. All those sort of things, being able to work through that stuff makes and keeps the relationship way better than if I didn't do that work and I just dwelt in that. And I think the big thing for me has been like focusing on my self-improvement, leveling up in that, so that I can feel good about me, so that having a partner who's hot doesn't turn into this kind of like, oh, he's so much better than me type thing. But instead it's like, wow, look at the amazing person that I am partnered to and I'm in partnership with. I'm pretty awesome too. And that's really where I've come out at. And not to say that I don't have moments, like it was just the other week that I had that comment about someone saying that Michael was the more attractive one in the relationship and having that moment of like, hey, but it's great to be in a place now where that's not as impacting on how I feel about myself, because that is the challenge. If you want a really attractive partner, it's can you hold yourself in that so that you can enjoy having someone that you find supremely attractive in your relationship. I hope you found this really interesting. If you do, then please do a review of the podcast. It would be really awesome. Or you can just follow this podcast and we do many more episodes about a range of things to do with anxiety. So thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Anxiety Specialist podcast. That's it for this week's episode. If you found this episode helpful, make sure to click the follow button and please do share this with your family and friends. And don't forget to follow us on Facebook or Instagram. That's at Anxiety Specialists. And if you're interested to learn how you can live an anxiety-free life, you can get our epic Anxiety Reducer Guide absolutely free, so you can get started right away on getting your anxiety back down. Just grab the link in the show notes. Feel free to message us and let us know what you'd like to learn next. I am your host, Michael Burrows.
And I'm Becky Burrows.
And we're going to be back next week with more tips, strategies, and insights so you can get the anxiety-free life you deserve.